We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Coming up on this week's show, a big win for the Missouri women as they go to Tennessee and win in Knoxville for the first time ever. We'll also hear from Robin Pinchton on the heels of that victory. We'll hear from Konzo Martin as his team gets set to take on Tennessee on Tuesday, and we'll preview the SEC men's season with Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. All that comes your way after this from Shelter Insurance.
Your voice lets him know he's safe. Shelter Insurance does the same for you. Roadside assistance is now included with your auto policy. So if your car leaves you stranded, just call and we'll take care of you while you take care of what's most important. Find out more at shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter. Some restrictions apply.
The Missouri women go on the road on Sunday. They win 66-64 at 10th-ranked Tennessee. It came down to this final play, and Brad Trenago had the call.
Day Green to inbound near sideline, still looking, gets it into Davis with two, with one, gets off a wild runner, no good, and Mizzou, for the first time ever, goes to Knoxville and gets the dub, 66-64 the final.
Here's Robin Pinchton after the game.
Right now we are joined by the victorious head coach of the Tiger Ladies, Robin Pinchton. Coach, Sophie Cunningham kind of hinted at this whenever Sierra Porter came back, but I guess at a certain point, you got to kind of embrace the hate, right? I mean, it's not a deal where you feed off it, but you've got to accept that it's going to come, and your team has got to take that and then respond to it, and I feel like your team did today.
Yeah, I thought what a great team win for us against a very, very talented team on their home court. I'm just proud of our kids. I felt like, especially that first half, it was pretty ugly, but we didn't get deflated. I think they had one more field goal than we did in the first half, and I told them that, a low-scoring game is going to play in our favor, and so we've got to embrace ugly, and it was ugly, and we came out in that second half and had some plays that could have been deflating, but we didn't allow it to, and, the girls really talked a lot before this game about leaning in, playing in the present, and they stayed true to their word. They just, I thought that was a tough, gritty performance by all of them. Yeah, that was a big one, folks.
No kidding. Holy smokes. So your team is down by one. Tennessee goes on a run. down by one, your team is, with 7:24 to go in the fourth. You call a timeout, and as it turned out, pretty soon after that, you guys were able to reclaim the lead. But what did you tell the team during that timeout when this place was kind of rocking?
You know, it was just the same message all game. Just poise, stick together, one play at a time, stay in the present, trust it, trust each other, you know, next play. And we said that from the jump. We knew it was going to be a really tough environment. And, again, you're talking about a very, very talented team. That's a roster of McDonald's All-Americans. And they're gonna make a deep run in the NCAA tournament, without a doubt. And so, you know, we just had to control what we could control. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect game for us. Man, we had a hard time on the boards, gave up way too many offensive boards, but I did like the poise that we played with. I really did. I know it was a little bit slower than what we would have liked, but I thought the poise that we played with was huge. And obviously, you can always count on Sophie, you know, in these games, and she's been just a great player for us all along. But I think you got to talk about Haley Troop a little bit, and that's exactly the kind of kid that we thought we were recruiting. And she just, we've talked about this a lot, pregame, postgame, that, you know, she just hasn't found her rhythm yet, but that's a kid that loves the big stage, and she certainly had a big night for us tonight.
So Sophie Cunningham, as we continue with Coach Robin Pinston after her team's 66-64 win at Tennessee. You know, Sophie in the third quarter gets called for that elbow, picks up an extra foul, and that was her third. What was the message to her after that adversity, and she started to get the boo birds raining down on her again?
Yeah, you know, Sophie's been through so much of that. I don't know that it really, if anything, it probably fuels her fire. You know, I don't think that was an intentional foul. You know, she's got a bad habit of taking that hand off to protect herself, going to the rim. And, you know, I didn't see the replay, so I can't tell you, you know, specifics about it. But, yeah, I don't really worry too much about Sophie in those situations. She's been there. It's just deep breath, next play. And, you know, she was played 33 minutes tonight. I thought she had one heck of a game. Her presence alone is makes such a big difference within our team.
Well, you talk about a presence. And Lauren Aldridge coming off not scoring at all against Ole Miss. She scores 12, only missed a couple shots all day. Also, she was the primary defender on Westbrook, who time and again kept trying to challenge Lauren Aldridge on drives to the basket. And Westbrook finished 5 of 19 from the field, so she may have been more valuable defensively for you today.
Yeah, you know, that's a kid that's been around. She understands, you know, what these environments are like and you know, following a scout. And I thought she just did a tremendous job all night long defensively for us.
Now, Arkansas is winning by about 20 right now at Ole Miss. That's the team you got next. So how do you use this momentum and funnel it in a positive way and avoid any potential letdown on Thursday?
Well, I mean, it just all depends on the big picture and what you're trying to get done. You know, to me, this isn't for 3, 4, 5 years ago. This is, you know, our program hopefully is in a different position than it was then. And, you know, if you're really trying to compete for an SEC championship, next game up. You know, obviously a great win on the road against a very talented team, but, you know, it was never our goal this season to, you know, that wasn't one of our goals to say we're going to beat Tennessee at Tennessee. And so, you know, I hope the girls really enjoy this. They celebrate it. But tomorrow's a new day and got to get back to business.
Well, today was pretty special, Coach. Congratulations. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mizzou is now 13-3 on the season, 2-0 in the SEC, as Tennessee falls to 12-2 and 1-1 in conference play. We'll talk men's hoop after this from Shelter Insurance.
That's the secret phone.
The what?
Remember? I told you my dad's a shelter agent. When that phone rings, he rushes out to save the day. Whether someone's home or car gets damaged, my dad is always there to help. He has the coolest job ever.
Well, my dad's an astronaut.
That's cool too, I guess.
Find your insurance superhero at shelterinsurance.com.
Tuesday night in Columbia, Missouri opens SEC play hosting third-ranked Tennessee. Here's my conversation with Tigers head coach Konzo Martin. You go 9-3 through non-conference play. Give me an evaluation of how your team handled non-conference.
Well, I thought we did a good job. Of course, you won the last six in a row, but I thought we did a good job after the Temple game. And I think, you know, as a coach, you always have to evaluate. We always watch a film scouting. How can we put ourselves in position to win games? But, you know, I think the first road game at Iowa State, even Central Arkansas, I didn't think we played well as a team. First game under the lights, Then you go on the road to Iowa State. They played very well. We didn't play well. I think 25 turnovers. Just kind of finding our way, figuring out who we are as a team, how hard you have to play, all those things it takes to be a good team. Then you go to St. Thomas. You know, we struggled against Kennesaw, which is a physical team, but we felt like we should have been better to stand, but find a way to win that game. Then Oregon State, I thought we played better. K-State, I think the K-State and the Temple game were two games where, as a coach, you have to look in the mirror, figure out, you give yourselves the best chance to win games. So I thought our ball screen coverage was not very good, and that has a lot to do with the coaching part because it's putting ourselves in a position to win games. And I didn't think we did a very good job there as a coach, so you have to make adjustments there to give yourself a chance to win. And we did that, and I think since then we've been better as a team because we had to shore that up because we were breaking down a lot in that area, and that had a lot to do with me not putting our guys in position. But after that, I just think the confidence in which guys are playing, because I think, too, with new guys and guys trying to identify roles, even guys that were returning, just the confidence in figuring out who I'm playing with, how does he like to play, his strengths, because you can do it amongst each other in practice, but now you're in live games against real competition that pose different challenges, and you have to make adjustments in games. And I just think we just did a better job. You know, guys grew up a lot. It was with some toughness and leading. Jeremiah's made strides. So I think we've made strides as a team. We've gotten better. Javon has surprised a lot of people. I mean, Marcus shooting the ball well. So you find ways to win games. Torrance is playing a lot better now. So then all of a sudden you find yourself winning six in a row. Now you have a tremendous challenge in Tennessee on Tuesday.
I want to go back to a couple of things that you've just said. And on multiple occasions in that last answer, you used the phrase that I didn't do a good enough job or that's on me as a coach. That self-awareness, that ability to critique kind of what you're doing as the head coach. When did you learn that skill, Coach?
Well, I think what happens, and I think truly for me, just how she watched my mom's life and how whatever she went through, never complained, never made excuses. So I've never been a guy that's big on excuses, complaining, just figured out. So I think what happens as a coach, you have to give you a chance to win games, yourself a chance to win. You have to be honest because you can push your guys, and we work our guys hard. We want to be very successful, and we demand a lot of extra shots, 1,000 makes a day, all these things. So as a coach, you owe it to them to do what you're supposed to give them a chance to win games. So I just think me as a ball player, I couldn't shoot the ball in college, so you have to learn how to shoot the ball. You can't blame the coach. It's not the coach's fault. You can get in the gym. The gym is open. So that's what I try to look at. What can I do to help our guys win games? And what I always say to our guys, if we're going to lose, I like to know how we're going to lose the game. That means we did everything we're supposed to do. They just made more shots that night, or they were just that good. But it can't be a case of us breaking down on principles and things that we're supposed to be prepared to do.
I want to go back to that Sunday afternoon game against Central Florida, and Geist hits a three-pointer from the top of the key to send the game to overtime. Who would have had any idea at that point in time that it would spark six consecutive wins for your team? It was a big shot for him at the moment, but it also proved to be somewhat of a springboard for your team too, didn't it?
It was, and it was a big shot, and then we just kind of went from there. But I just think that shot gave our team confidence, gave him confidence. I think his last two games he scored over 20 points, and he's doing a lot of things for our team. But, you know, winning solves a lot of problems, and I'm more critical on our guys after wins as opposed to losses. As losses, we evaluate as a staff, we get together, and we say we need to say we correct. But after wins, I think guys are more apt and more keen to listen because they won the game. But I think when you lose games, you're so down, it's hard to really get into guys and help them understand it because they're so beat up about the loss. And you have to respect that because I know how I was after losses as a player. So you have to find ways to motivate guys. And I think with that shot with guys, also some other guys stepped up and made some plays. We played a better second half against Central Florida, which was a hard team to score against. But Jeremiah played well in that second half. But I think after that, we gained a level of confidence and helped us move forward.
As well as Jeremiah played against Illinois, obviously he struggled against Morehead State. One of the interesting things that you've said is just working on his confidence and making Jeremiah believe that he can be the player that he's capable of being. Explain that a little bit, if you will. Just, you know, working on that confidence aspect of Jeremiah's game.
His situation is unique from the standpoint. Jeremiah's a tough kid. He embraces challenges. But his battle is within himself. I'm really recognizing that. The sooner he, and I've said it to him all the time, the sooner he realizes and believes that he's an elite talent, then he'll be that. The soon as he says, I'll do that, because he has all the parts. You see his footwork. You see his hands, his post moves. He's better, and he hasn't seen a lot. Well, fans haven't seen a lot. He face up, make plays off the dribble, make good passes. So I think once he realizes or it clicks to him that I'm an elite player, and it'll change just like that. It won't be weeks and weeks and weeks when he realizes it, so that's what I try to help him understand, man. You're as good as any in America, and teams see you as that now. The key is him believing in that consistently. Like, he didn't come out prepared to play against Morehead State for whatever reason. But the great thing about Jeremiah, he recognizes that, and he doesn't make excuses. And the beautiful thing about him, he's not a guy that makes excuses. He deals with it, and he moves forward.
KJ Santos played more minutes in the Morehead State game than he has to date. Where is he in his recovery, and kind of where can he help you moving forward?
He's doing fine, so he's actually in the fold. But I think where he can help us most is his ability to run the floor. Mm-hmm. He can move. He's a fluid athlete. He runs. He jumps. I said in June and July, I thought he was our best defender, and I think he still is that. I think he can be that. His conditioning continues to grow as he plays in games and in practice. I think for him, just the confidence in his offensive package, because he has a good package. He knows how to throw the defense. He knows how to make the backdoor pass without drawing up a play. He can make a shot, but his confidence in his shot. He can make post move, but his confidence in all those things. I just think we've been out so long, it's almost like he's been out a year, then all of a sudden it started this season. So you're talking about a year and a half, so to speak. And you lose a level of confidence. But I think his defense is there. I think the confidence part comes with reps, comes with making shots and making plays. I think he'll get that.
How much time you spent on defense during this time away from actual games?
I would say 40%. I think 60% is on offense and 40%. We spent a lot of time this time on skill development. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Katie always said years ago, I'd rather have a better player in February than to be able to run a play. So we spent a lot of time on skill development so guys can improve their skills. After so many plays, the opponent know what you're doing. Cops play, know what you're doing. You got to be able to make plays. And so we spent a lot of time on that part of the game.
I look at Tennessee, and the two guys that stand out are Williams and Schofield. Those two kids are just men, aren't they?
Yeah, they're physical. They play with a level of toughness. I enjoy watching just because of, from the physical standpoint. I mean, you know they're on the floor, they hit you, but they're also skilled players. They've really improved their skill level as basketball players. I mean, I don't know them personally, but it still seems like they have great IQ, great feel for the game. I think you can see his ability to lead on the floor. And I think Grant just plays with power, plays with toughness, and I enjoy watching him.
And Bone's a better player, too, at the point guard, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And what happens with him, he's a point guard that can really score the ball because he scored it in high school. Now you're talking about a guy that's averaging a little over 14 points a game, fast in transition, can move the ball, lightning quick, shifty with the ball, crafty, and he's a strong guy. So, again, he puts pressure on you, and they do a great job as a team of trying to pound that ball inside.
18 games to go. Here we go. I look forward to seeing you on Monday night.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Tigers head coach Konzo Martin. Tennessee was very impressive on Saturday as they opened league play with a 36-point win at home against Georgia. Mike Wilson covers the Volunteers and the SEC for the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Volunteers, but before we talk about Rick Barnes' team, and what he has done the amazing job in a short amount of time. Just give me your gut feel. Obviously, conference play opens. Tennessee dominant yesterday. Alabama surprises Kentucky in Tuscaloosa. How good is the league this year, in your opinion?
You know, I thought the top end might be a little bit stronger than I think it's proven to be. I still think Auburn's a really solid team. I think Kentucky, you know, we expect to see them round into form as the year goes along. But I thought that second tier of Alabama, which obviously won yesterday, Florida, LSU, I thought those squads were going to be a little bit better than they are. Certainly Mississippi State's proven to be a pretty solid team. But that Florida, LSU bunch, I thought would perform better than they have so far this year.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see as the season progresses, you know, who steps forward from that group, because I still think it's a conference that could maybe get as many as seven. But to underscore your point, guys like our teams like LSU and Florida have got to step up, don't they?
They absolutely do. And, you know, going into the year, those teams did have expectations. I think especially when you look at LSU with Tremont Waters coming back and a couple five-star recruits coming in. But they haven't really played up to that level yet. But, yeah, one of those teams kind of emerging is maybe that solid 4-5 spot in the league. I think it could go a long way for the overall profile.
Is there a player better than Grant Williams in this league?
Man, that's a tough question. And honestly, and it sounds a little bit crazy, but if there is, it might be Admiral Schofield.
yeah.
I mean, but that was actually my pick for preseason SEC Player of the Year. I thought the way that Admiral finished last year was wildly impressive. But no, I mean, Grant, you know, averaging 20 and 8 a game, he's been very dominant so far this year. And I didn't know how much room necessarily he had to grow from last year in the way he played, but he's taken his game to a very interesting level.
Yeah, you know, he's the reigning player of the year from a year ago. The last player in the SEC to win it back-to-back years was Corliss Williamson from Arkansas back in 94 and 95. So let's dig into the Volunteers. First, kind of broad brush, how has Rick Barnes done it in such a short amount of time?
You know, it goes back to that kind of cliche to some extent of just instilling the right culture. But he's got a veteran group of guys that have been in his program now essentially since he arrived in Knoxville. And they've bought into that system. They've rolled through that system. But they're guys that like playing defense. They buy into that brand. And it's just a group of, again, veterans. They start two juniors, two seniors, and a sophomore, bring a junior and a sophomore off the bench. Another junior is back now on Lamonte Turner. So just a bunch of guys who have really been around it and really just worked together with Rick to kind of make this happen.
How has he been to work with since he arrived in Knoxville?
I mean, Rick's a pretty laid-back dude to deal with when you're looking at him from a media standpoint. Just pretty low-key guy. I've covered some other coaches that haven't been that way. But he's easy enough to deal with. It doesn't make life too difficult. But then again, I mean, when you're covering a team that rolls through and wins a lot, it kind of gets easier to cover as you go along as well, obviously.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet him when he was at Clemson. He took that team to the NCAA tournament. I was doing a tournament game, and I can't remember the site, but could not have been one of the most gracious, easy guys to be around.
Yeah, he's kind of got a goofy side, too, that I think you don't necessarily get to see. But he's a prankster, man. He pranks on some people and messes with them, and it gets a big grin when he messes with people. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so as I look at this Tennessee team, obviously it's a team that in terms of the way they play, I mean, that travels. You know, you look at their ability to space the floor, their ability to make cuts without the basketball. And 1 through 5, every one of those guys is capable of coming off of a down pick, curling into the paint, and rising somewhere around the free throw line and knocking down a mid-range jump shot. I mean, they can hit you from the outside. They've got speed with Bone at the point guard. They've got size with Alexander. And they've got just two men in, obviously, Williams and Schofield. So what are their weaknesses if you've seen it so far? Anything?
Yeah, you know, the other day, just before they played Georgia, I kind of rolled out a story that was just, hey, here's the 3 reasons I think Tennessee is going to win the SEC, and here's the 3 reasons why I think they won't. And the reasons I thought they won't were backcourt depth and the heavy minutes that Grant and Admiral are playing, as well as just kind of the back end of their schedule. They kind of don't really hit the difficult part of the schedule with ranked teams until mid-February. But those first two things were kind of dealt with yesterday. Lamonte Turner returned. He hadn't played in six games. He only played in 3 of 12. But with him, Tennessee was able to play the defense they've wanted to play, really pressure the ball, which really helped Jordan Bone and Jordan Bowden because those two were being asked to do a lot at the guard position. But yeah, I mean, that to me still can be a weakness. I think they're a guard short, even with Lamonte Turner back. But getting him back is going to be crucial for this team.
Yeah, one of the things, so the coaches and things that I've read from you and others, one of the things they were pointing to is not being as good as they can be from a defensive standpoint. And what do? They hold Georgia to 32% from the field and 1 for 20 from the three-point line yesterday.
Yeah, and that was kind of the performance they'd been looking to have. They had a couple really good halves in non-conference play, but one of the things that Rick, as you mentioned, has harped on is just wanting to see the defense be to the level it was last year. But a lot of that does go back to the numbers they have in the backcourt. They graduated a guard, had a guard transfer, then didn't bring any new guards in, and they were playing without Lamonte Turner. So getting him back is what's going to make a difference there. But there is that reality, too, and Rick's commented on it. When you're a really good offensive team, sometimes it's easy to let the defense slide a little bit, and he wants to make sure that they're not doing that on a steady basis.
Mike, as you look at the development of the league over the course of the last few years, I think, credit to those in the league, in the league office, making basketball a priority, and then the institutions and going out and hiring good coaches. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, I was going to say the latter point there of the institutions going out, paying money for big coaches. I mean, look at the way Alabama went and got Avery Johnson. LSU went and got Will Wade, who is such a hot up-and-comer in that. Mike White at Florida. I mean, these schools have gone out and gotten names. I mean, Frank Martin at South Carolina, he's a guy who went and had success at Kansas State and kind of built a program there. So, yeah, these schools invested in basketball, and that certainly made a huge difference just in the overall profile of everything.
Well, and I think Dan Leibovitz has done a terrific job in the conference office overseeing the sport.
Yeah, and that's something Rick has not been shy about praising, is just that being such an improvement. And certainly all of those things led to the success of last season, setting a record for teams making the tournament.
Mizzou in Tennessee Tuesday night at Mizzou Arena. I'm Mike Kelly. Thanks for listening to this week's Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.